Today, we'll talk about that topic, as I just mentioned, as Christmas is passing away, and our culture is all about gifts, if you haven't noticed. Kids are all about gifts, and some of the adults are all about gifts as well. And if a week ago, last Sunday, I asked you whether folks were ready for Christmas, I think the adults would have probably said no, because there was quite a bit of gift shopping still left, but the children would have said, oh yes, because they were ready to receive the gifts, especially the awesome and the best gifts that most people were awaiting for. And it reminds me of a story that I heard about a boy who really wanted a watch, and he was talking to his father about a watch every other day and saying, Daddy, I need a watch. Finally, Dad looked at him and said, Son, if you say the word watch one more time, you're really going to get it. And so then, before dinner, the father looked at all of the kids and said, Kids, I want you to tell me your favorite Bible verse before we have supper. And this fellow was a smart little fellow, and he ran through his Bible, pulled out a Bible, ran back and said, Oh yeah, I got one for you, Dad, Mark 13:37. Mark 13:37. And if you look at that verse, it says, And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And so that guy obviously wanted the watch. It was the best gift for him. But for us, what I want us to consider is what is the best gift for us. And as we already read in Russian, the best gift for us that Christmas has to offer, that God has to offer, is written in John 3:16. And you could, if you read that verse, it says the following, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish but have life everlasting. Think about what that verse means. I know you know it. You've all probably have it committed to memorize it. But what it's telling us that God loved you and me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. So that whoever believes in Him does not perish, or in other words, will never die and have life everlasting, meaning will live forever. So truly, that is the best Christmas gift as we think about that. In fact, is the best Christmas gift. When I think about God and how He could have come to this earth, and I consider that He entered this earth through birth 2,000 years ago in a manger in that lowly place, then He died on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life forever in heaven, that is the best Christmas gift. Amen? Amen. And so not only is it the best Christmas gift, it's somewhat of an extraordinary and a unique gift. Why? Because in it, we see a number of other gifts. Have you ever opened a box and there was something there and you thought, oh, that's great. And then you noticed there was something else there and you were even happier. And then maybe something else was there as well and you were happier even more. And so there's multiple gifts in one. And that's what we see in Jesus Christ Himself, in that gift, in God giving us that gift, there is multiple gifts. And today I wanted to highlight three of those gifts for us. In Christ, we find forgiveness, we find the gift of eternal life, and the gift of strength. Again, in Christ, we find the gift of forgiveness, of eternal life, and of strength. Forgiveness is the first gift I wanted to slightly mention. We all need it. We all need forgiveness, though sometimes we don't think we need forgiveness and we don't have a correct self-assessment. It reminds me of another story I heard of three boys, probably southern boys because of their names. And so these boys, actually one of the boys was writing a letter to Santa Claus and he wrote the following. He said, Hey, dear Santa, there are three boys living in our house. There's Jeffrey, he's 2. There's David, he's 4. And there's Billy, he's 7. So Jeffrey is good sometimes. David, he's also good sometimes. But Billy, he is good all the time. I'm Billy, he wrote. And so oftentimes we are just like that. When we look at ourselves, we see the faults of others, but not of our own. But the truth of the matter is that we are all guilty. And Romans 3:23 says, For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. We don't measure up to our own standards, let alone God's standards. But the good news, as we read in John 3:16 and also in the following verse, Romans 3:24, it says, But we are being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is the good news. That is the good news. We all have regrets, sins, guilt that we carry with us that have devastating effects on our lives. But the Christmas message that God is sending to us and is telling us is that Lord Jesus Christ came to forgive us and to take our sins away. He came to forgive and take the sins away of those that believe. And think about that forgiveness that God is offering. That forgiveness is immediate. You don't have to ask or stand in a long line. You just have to come to Christ. That forgiveness is immediate and also undeserved. You can't really earn it, or you can't do anything to earn it. God gives it to you freely, and it is complete as well. The forgiveness that Christ gives is complete. When we confess our sins to God, He remembers them no more. Think about that. God chooses to forgive our sins. So whatever we have in our lives, come to Him. Give it to Him, and He will forgive and not remember. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." And not only will He turn a new leaf or a new chapter in our lives, as we are accustomed to say, but when He forgives, He gives us a new person. And as you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that whoever is in Christ, he is a new creation. So it's almost like wiping a slate clean and starting over again. So what a wonderful gift of Christ, first and foremost, is forgiveness within Him that we see. Second gift within Christ that I wanted to highlight for us would be eternal life. And that is an amazing gift as well. You know that Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That gift that He's offering to us is not only forgiveness, but eternal life as well. Romans actually 8:2 continues on the thought and says, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of Spirit who gave life has set you free." He's setting us free from what? From the law of sin and death. So He's giving us the eternal life and setting us free from death. And death is a universal problem for all humans. We fear it. We don't like to think about it or talk about it. But all of us will die. The mortality rate of this country and the world overall is 100%. So it's foolish to go through life unprepared for something that we know is inevitable and will happen to you and to me. If you were to take a trip to the snow and you know that it was snowing over there, wouldn't you prepare? Well, we know that all of us will die. Someone once said that you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And a great pastor of this country, Jonathan Edwards, that lived a couple hundred years ago, had a number of resolutions, or in other words, a number of promises that he made to himself before God, almost 80 of them or so. And I'll just read two of them to you. Resolution 17 said the following: "Resolved that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die." Resolution 9: "Resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death." Interesting resolutions. He had many other ones. But if you Google the person or even look at Wikipedia, you will see that he was probably one of the greatest theologians and pastors of the United States, probably partially due to the fact that he intently and intensely thought about his last days and what that would look like and how he wanted to appear before Christ or on his deathbed without any regrets. But as you have noticed, people like to avoid the subject of death, as I said, because we're afraid of it generally and because we're uncertain what happens. The people out there are uncertain of what happens to folks that die. However, the scriptures is very clear about that. Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed for man to die once, but after this there's judgment. It is an appointment, death is an appointment that you will not be late for, or I. I am often late for social gatherings and settings, and maybe some of you are in the same boat where you're late as well. But this appointment, again, neither you nor I will be late for, because God has already chosen the time of death for both you and me. And so the fact that we are here today, the fact that we're listening to God's Word and reading His Word and thinking about that is that God, in His mercy, is giving us time right now to prepare for eternal life. Today, as you breathe the air that God has given you, it's air of mercy. God is giving you time to receive Lord Jesus. He's giving you time to ponder these things. He is giving you time to accept Him as Savior. And if you do that, death will be a homecoming. It will be a transition just from this earth. It will be a transition from this place that's filled with sorrows in our life here to a better place in eternal life. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And for us, if we accept Jesus, if we accept His gift of forgiveness, and if we accept His gift of eternal life, we'll be able to do the same. And lastly, I wanted to point out the third gift that we see in Christ, and though there is many more, but I'll just stop with this third one. In Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So the third and final gift I want to highlight is strength. God gives us strength. This world is hard at times. We face challenges that seem insurmountable, be it in family life, or be it at work life, or school, or what have you. But the strength of God can see us through. Christ came 2,000 years ago. He died for us. He executed, and He already gave us salvation, and He told us that He is strengthening us through His Holy Spirit. We don't know what next year holds, as we're about to enter in 2014, but we know that we can face whatever it holds through the power of Jesus. And in that, I find comfort, a lot of comfort. And I hope and trust that you find comfort in that as well. So when you give your life to Christ, then He assumes all the responsibility. He is then in the driver's seat. And He tells you in His Word in the Scriptures that He will meet your needs. He gives you strength. But the problem is, or the question for you is, are you giving and are you accepting that strength from Him? Because too often, we go to church, we hear His Word, but whenever we deal with a situation or a problem, we go back to what feels comfortable. We go back to solving the problem by ourselves. And instead of coming to God for the strength that He already told us He will give us, we try to attempt and solve the situation with our own strength. But that is so foolish. Remember Peter when he attempted to walk on water and he started drowning? How foolish would it be for him to reject the hand of Christ as Christ was stretching out and attempting to lift him up out of the waters when he was drowning and to say, "No thanks, Jesus, I'll try to do this on my own." That in fact is foolish, but that is what you and I often do in our lives when Christ has already offered and He will give us that strength. So as we close, as I come to the close of thinking and highlighting these three gifts that we find in Christ, again, I want to mention and highlight that God gives us forgiveness. He gives us eternal life and strength and this awesome gift that appeared and He sent to us in His Son 2,000 years ago. And the tragedy is that many celebrate Christmas without having received God's Christmas gifts that we just discussed. Many of the people I know in my professional life, the vast majority, as a matter of fact, fall into that category. They celebrate Christmas without having received God or having received His gifts. And I read a story recently that talked about a man who opened his wife's Christmas gift after 49 years. Don't know what happened Maybe it fell through the cracks somewhere, but he opened the gift 49 years later, for crying out loud. And I thought to myself, how strange. How strange is that? How strange and awkward would the wife feel as well, that gave a gift and didn't see her husband open it for 49 years. Well, without so much the article saying so, it was clear that the wife felt dishonored and disrespected when she gave a gift that wasn't even opened for 49 years. And maybe you can relate and you fall in the same category. When you give a gift to someone and then you don't hear back anything, perhaps, how does that make you feel? Recently, actually, Inga and I, last week, as a matter of fact, gave someone a box in a gift, and then I was talking to Inga and saying, hey, have you heard anything back? No. She says, I haven't heard anything back. And I was wondering, well, I wonder, did they get it? Did they open it? What's going on? And so that's us, humans. We expect to hear something back, but think about God now. He gave us this gift. He gave us Christ. And most people in this world just ignore it. Well, that is dishonor and disrespect to our Christ Jesus and to God. And that is why it says that disbelief is the biggest sin of it all. So as we close, I want to end with this following illustration. There was an example I recently heard of from a sermon that I wanted to share with you guys. There was a Christmas play similar to the ones that we've had many times in this church. And in this Christmas play, a 10-year-old boy was playing an innkeeper for the inn in Bethlehem that was to have Joseph and Mary come and knock on the door. And so this little 10-year-old boy only had one line that he needed to remember. And if you know the story of Christmas, the line that the innkeeper says is, there's no room in the inn. That's the only line. Very short, very brief. There's no room at the inn. That's all that the boy was supposed to say. And so the day of the play came. He was very excited, this little boy, 10 years old, like I said. He was anxious. He wanted to do a good job. And as the play started to unroll, there was Mary and Joseph walking across the stage. They came and they knocked on the door of the inn. This boy opened the door on the stage. He looked out with a lantern. And Joseph said, hi, my name is Joseph. I'm here with my wife, Mary. She is to give birth to the son. Do you have a room? The boy looked at him and he said his life, no, there's no room in the inn. And as Mary and Joseph started walking away, something happened during that Christmas play that changed it. And that play was forever changed, and there were none before or after like that. The 10-year-old boy stood there watching as Mary and Joseph walked away, as those other kids were acting, and something happened to his heart. Something happened, and he said, hey, wait a minute. Come back here. You can have my room. So it's a small and simple example of a child knowing what to do and having the right response to Christmas. But have we made room for Jesus this Christmas ourselves? There might be someone here today that deep inside you know that something is missing. Something is just missing in your life. And that something is actually someone. It's Lord Jesus Christ. And today, if you place your trust in Him, as we discussed, He will forgive you. He will offer you eternal life. And He will also strengthen us, because that is what He offers and guarantees to those that will come to us. That is God's invitation this Christmas, to receive His Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.